today I'm going to speak on Philippians. So if you just want to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, I just want to encourage you as well. If you do get healed, gossip the good news. Tell everybody. You know, it's really encouraging to hear these stories. We know we heard a story about a month ago now, I think it was, when we were meeting up with the guys who run the prayer cafe in Reading. And, you know, they do it once a month and they get so many people coming in for prayer. And they found out about this amazing answer to prayer but they found out about it a year later. Basically, this guy who was from India is walking along the street. They asked him, is there anything you'd like us to pray for you for? And he said, well, he was just about to go to India because his dad had a broken pelvis and he wasn't getting any medical care there. He was very ill. He was about to die. And so he was going to say goodbye to him. So his son asked for prayer for him and they prayed for him. And then about a year later, when they were out again, they didn't know, but they end up speaking to this the son's wife. And she said, oh, you know, a year ago, my husband came and he asked for prayer. And when he went to India, his dad was completely well. You know, this is like amazing. His dad was completely well. It's like, wow. And apparently the son went around the whole village saying that the gods of Reading had healed his dad. It's like amazing, isn't it? This is just like a town up the road from us. Like God is moving in power. And we need to tell the story so we can get a real picture of what God is really doing. We need to feed ourselves on what God is doing. So I encourage you, tell the stories of what God is doing. It's an exciting thing. So I'm going to be speaking on Philippians today. And I just want to give some background to this book if you don't know this. The book of Philippians was written by Paul the Apostle, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. And it was written when he was in prison awaiting trial. And he was writing this letter to the church in Philippi. So I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evildoers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. So I want to talk to us today about surrender, surrendering everything to Jesus. And often it's a topic that maybe we don't always talk about that much. You know, we talk about the wonderful things of living for Jesus and following him, which are great, and we should talk about them. They're great things. The grace that's available to us, the joy of following him. But we don't always talk about surrender. And, you know, it's one of those funny things, because Jesus told us, you know, when he was on the earth, take up your cross and follow me. You know, give up everything to follow me. That's quite hardcore, isn't it? Does anyone think so? Interaction is always helpful. It makes me feel happy. you know, that whole thing of just surrendering everything to Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. And, you know, the reality is that salvation is a free gift to us. It's not, we don't get it based on our works. We don't get it on how good we are, how much we love God. It's a free gift. Once we receive salvation, that's a free gift to us. You know, that whole saying that we hear, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, or nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's a truth in that there, that God just loves us unconditionally. He accepts us just as we are. You know, he just will dote on us no matter what we do. We're his precious children. He's our heavenly father. That's true. But there's like another level that he invites us into. He invites us into surrendering everything to him, you know, which costs us. You know, he invites us into a deeper relationship with him. You know, and we all know just from human relationships, if we want to go deeper in friendship with someone, there is going to be a cost involved. There's going to be sacrifice involved. But we choose to do it because we know the joy of that friendship, of that relationship is worth it. We choose to do it. And it's the same with God. He is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him, into deeper intimacy with him. But there will be cost involved. There'll be surrender involved. You know, he invites us into an adventure of following him. You know, when we're in that loving relationship with him, we find out the things that he loves, the things that are on his heart. And we kind of want to be part of it. He invites us to partner with him. But following those things, following that adventure with Jesus, can cost us a lot. It can cost us a lot. But, you know, when we read, like, in Exodus, the Ten Commandments, you know, one of those Ten Commandments talking about how we shouldn't have any idols before God, we shouldn't worship any God. And it talks about how God is a jealous God. That's kind of a funny thing to think, wow, God is a jealous God. He's jealous for us. He's jealous for our affections towards him. He's jealous that we give everything to him because he loves us so much, more than we can possibly comprehend. And he is desperate for us to love him like that. We don't have to. It's our choice. But he's a relational God, and that's what he desires. But he allows us to make that choice. And to walk in that is going to require us to walk in that place of surrender. And, you know, I was thinking about the issue of surrender. And I was thinking how surrender in, this is just my personal opinion, you may not agree, and that's okay. But I think it's kind of got a bit of a bad name, the whole issue of surrender. Because sometimes when we think about surrender, we think that it means that we have to give up everything of who we are, the way that God created us to be. We think we're going to almost like trample on our very identity. We may think of, have this image of God forcing us to do something against our will, that that's what surrender is about. But I think that the level to which we are willing to surrender our lives to God is in proportional to our image of God in some respects. I'm sure there's other things involved as well, but I think this is really key. If we see God as this distant person who's like a taskmaster, who's like, come on, do this thing for me, whipping us, then who's going to want to surrender to a God like that? But if we see God as a God who's love, who's good, who's our heavenly Father, who wants the best for us, he actually created us. He knows the things that make us feel alive. He knows, you know, what fills our hearts with joy. He knows those things, and he wants us to be walking in that. If we're surrendering to a God like that, then we know that the cost is worth it. Because we can trust God. We can trust him. And I think the issue of surrender is to do with, you know, how much are we going to trust God? And what God are we trusting in? Are we trusting in this loving Heavenly Father who knows who we are, who knows us intimately? Or are we trusting to a distant taskmaster type God? And I just really feel that that's what some of the things that God wants to speak into us today. So I'm just going to go through this passage. So just, you know, this book, Philippians, is so much talking about joy. And just remember that, like, Paul is in prison. You know, he had a lot of reason not to be joyful, don't you think? And yet he's full of joy. You know, he's saying to them, rejoice in the Lord. He'd found that place of contentment in his relationship with God, the joy that can come in that place, the purpose, the meaning. You know, he says in this book, he's talking about how, you know, I've been in prison, but it's actually me being in prison has caused the gospel to advance, because he'd been able to share the goodness of God with the people who were like the guards there and others who worked there. So he has this real joy that's in God. And, you know, as we look through these verses, he's telling them to be aware of where it talks about dogs, evil workers there. It was like Jews who'd become Christians who were telling them that they needed to earn their salvation, putting legalistic stuff on them. So he's telling them to be aware of this. And then he says in verse 3, and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. What does that mean? Put no confidence in the flesh. My little summary of it is, don't trust in your own ability. Don't do things independent of God. You know, we need to remind ourselves all the time that we were created for this amazing communion with God, this amazing intimate relationship with him. We're not created to live independent of God. And, you know, he's saying to them, if anyone has a reason to put confidence in the flesh, then I do. And he's listing through these things. Circumcised the eighth day. So that was the thing for people who were Jews. If they were proper good Jews and their parents, they would get them circumcised on the eighth day. Of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul was directly descended from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the beginning of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. He was directly descended from them. That would give him a reason for prestige. You know, it was a really good thing that he could trust in that Jewish community. A Hebrew of Hebrews, that would mean that he would be speaking the Hebrew language, would keep to all the Hebrew customs. As to the law, a Pharisee, so that's one of the Jewish leaders, really into keeping those Jewish laws and adding more to them. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. So he was so zealous for his Jewish faith that, you know, as soon as the Christian church came along, it's like, what's going on here? You know, he wanted to stamp it out and not let them destroy the Jewish faith as he would have seen it. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. So, you know, in the Old Testament, we know that God brought the law to kind of show them what the level of righteousness was, and actually people couldn't really stick to it, so they needed Jesus and all that stuff that came. But, you know, he's saying that he could be found blameless according to the law. You know, we could list, make it personal to us, what are the things about our flesh that we can trust in, that can give us security, that can give us prestige, that can cause us to be trying to do things in our own strength, independent of God, that we've got to trust in. But Paul says in verse 7, but whatever things were gain to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know, Paul had got to that place when it's like, yes, I can trust in all these things. His life was secure. His future was secure. He would have been an upstanding person in the Jewish community. But actually, all of that was lost. You know, if you think about it, Paul, who was Saul before, you know, he has his road to Damascus experience. He has that encounter with God. You know, he goes from this place of prestige within his Jewish community, of all these things going for him. He has this encounter with God and it totally mucks him up, you know. Suddenly it's like, okay, what do I do with this? You know, then he would have been completely ostracized by the Jewish community. He would have had to give up everything. It would have cost him everything. He counted it loss for the sake of knowing Christ. You know, this is what God is looking for in us. that in every area of our lives, we're coming to that place of total surrender before him, that we would give up everything for him. Verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You know, he's just emphasizing that point again of he has found this awesome relationship with Jesus. He's found the joy of knowing what it means to be walking with him in that place of him. And, you know, it talks there about suffered the loss, that giving up and surrendering for Jesus, it can be painful. It can cost you everything, but it's worth it. You know, in some ways, you know, when you compare it to other people around the world, it seems such a small thing. But I think in my own situation of leading the journey, you know, some of the things along the way that you choose, choices you choose to make to do what God has asked you to do, they actually cost things. They even cost sometimes friendships with people who maybe don't agree with what you're doing. Different things like that, they can cost you everything. But, you know, I choose to take great pleasure every day in, like, seeing the things that God is doing. You know, I look at people in the journey and I think, wow, you know, God has changed that thing in their life. Or, you know, 5 years ago they were this totally different person, but look at them now, they're just like amazing. Look at people that they've brought to Jesus, family members who've become Christians. You know, you just look at those little things every day and you take joy in those things, and you just know, wow, it is worth it. It's worth it because of the joy of these things that are happening. It makes it worth it. I just want to read, got a few more minutes left. I just want to do these verses. If you look at verse 12, I'm just going to read them and then just talk about them briefly. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I was thinking about these verses, thinking, what is this thing that, you know, Paul is laying hold of because Christ laid hold of him? And I was just thinking about it. I was thinking, in the context of those verses there, that it is the race that God has given Paul to run, which applies to each of us. Each of us have a race to run. Each of us have things that God has called us to do. And we need to run that race. We need to run that race with perseverance. You know, Paul, he's kind of giving us a secret of how he keeps on going. You know, when he's in the prison, difficult place, but he knows that he hasn't yet completed that race. He hasn't got hold of that thing, those things that God has called him to do, the things in his life that Jesus is wanting to change to make him more like him. You know, Jesus has got hold of Paul for this purpose, and Paul is laying hold of Jesus to run with that purpose. You know, he's forgetting what is behind and he's concentrating on moving forward. And stuff that's behind, it may be good stuff as well as difficult stuff, but he's focused, he's going forward. And you know, when we read, if you want to read it yourself, it's in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. And this was a letter which was written about 5 or 6 years later, probably, they reckon. And in that, it's a letter that he wrote just before he died. And he talks about how he's run the race, he's fought the fight, he's done what God has asked him to do. And I suppose he's coming to the end of life, he knows, I've done what God wants me to do. This is my time to go to heaven and enjoy eternity with God. But here, he knows he hasn't finished yet what God wants him to do. And so he's got this perseverance and tenaciousness that says, Jesus gave up everything so that I, you know, to lay hold of me. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He gave up all those things because of the joy he knew of each one of us having that relationship with him and having that sense of purpose and destiny to go after what he has got for each of us in this life. And so Paul is responding to that love and that surrender by Jesus in back and say, I'm going to surrender back. I count everything as loss as to know Jesus and all that that means and to lay hold of that thing which he lay hold of me. And, you know, I'm going to end now because I've run out of time, but I just want to give us some space just to let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts about this issue of surrender. You know, the thing that God is looking for is a heart surrender. You know, sometimes you read different things in church history, how people have kind of maybe responded to these kind of verses with thinking that they need to punish themselves. They've like hurt themselves and cut themselves to suffer for Jesus. And I don't think, you know, that's what it's talking about. It's about a heart which is totally surrendered to Jesus, that will just live for him in everything, in the good times and the difficult times, that will pay the price, that will pay that cost of following him. And, you know, we are at an amazing point in our history in the UK. I really, really believe it. Just hearing stories from around the country, as I said earlier, just encouraged me so much. I'm like, wow, God is doing amazing things around our country. And we have an opportunity to take hold of what God is doing. You know, we can just let God do it and he can do it over here and we can just do this thing over there. Or we can lay hold of God. We can pay the price and we can join in with what he's doing in our country and in our world. You know, it's just been so amazing to hear the stories about these different countries we've been hearing about today, of what God is doing around the world, of people paying the price to see these nations, you know the love of Jesus. And, you know, people paying with their lives as well. But they're doing it because they know that it's worth it. They know that God loves those people enough for them to join in with him in that sacrifice. And this is what God is calling us as a church, you know. I really believe that together, you know, obviously we're part of the worldwide church of God, but God is calling us not just to go for it for the UK, but to go for it for other nations around the world, that we are key in that. But it's going to require sacrifice and it's going to require cost. And, you know, we can be good at kind of covering over those things, but it is costly to follow Jesus. It can cost us everything, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So I just want to give us some time, just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us individually. You know, it will be different for each one of us. I really don't want to like hype up my, you know, let's surrender, rah, kind of thing. I'm just really trusting and believing that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us individually, just to prompt us in the loving way that he does. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring guilt and condemnation. He doesn't put heavy coals and burdens on our heads. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, you know, we might be like, wow, this is scary. But there feels like there's a grace in it, even though we know it's scary. It's a bit like, oh, can I really take this step? But when it's the Holy Spirit doing it, there's a grace there for us to do it. It's not in our own strength, but it's in partnership with him. So I just want to invite you to respond to God in the way that is how you respond to God. For some of us, it might be, we might want to do something physical. Might want to kneel, might want to lie down, might want to stand up. We might just want to sit there and just be quiet before God. We might want to write things down. However is an appropriate response for you. I just want to encourage you just to let the Holy Spirit speak into your hearts to show you maybe things that he's wanting you to lay down and surrender to him. He might also show you some of the cost involved and you might have to weigh up, okay, God, do I really want to take this step? You know, it might be that the Holy Spirit just wants to give you a glimpse into the future of what can be if you choose to partner with him and lay yourself down. What could be in the future for all eternity? You know, we surrender, we pay a cost for this short earthly life, but things for eternity will go on forever and ever. You know, when we have an eternal perspective, this sacrifice in this life is nothing. You know, it's so worth it. And we want to be those people when we get to heaven, we just think, yes, I know that I did what I knew to do. I gave my all to God and wow, look, here I am in heaven and it's so worth it. So yeah, I don't know if the band just want to come up and maybe play something appropriate. But let's just be quiet before God. Let's just have a few moments. We just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If you feel that you want to come and kneel here, feel free to. Whatever you feel is the right thing for you to do, please do. For some of us, maybe we've been putting off surrendering to Jesus. Maybe we know that that's what we want to do, but we just think, oh, but my children are too small, or my work is too busy at the moment. It could be any kind of thing like that. These things, which are real things and make it difficult for us to imagine being in that place of surrender. But, you know, Jesus, he was like hardcore, you know, when he said, you know, let the dead bury themselves. You know, what he was talking about there was maybe to somebody who was worried about different things, of just calling for that level of complete surrender to him. Doesn't mean to say that we're not going to parent our children or do our jobs well. It's not about that, but it's about that heart that says, even though there are all these things going on in my life, I'm going to say yes to Jesus, because I trust him that when I'm in that place of surrender, that he wants me to be a good parent. He wants me to be a good worker in my job, or whatever the thing may be. But we can just trust him in that place of surrender. For some of us, there might be things in our lives that we're struggling with, you know, things that we really want to change on, we just find it really hard to, or maybe they're are problems that we have that we just can't see the solution to them, and those are standing in the way of us surrendering. But just give all of that to God. Trust him with that. So yeah, Lord, I just thank you that you invite us into this place of surrender to you, of this privilege of giving our lives completely for you, Lord, of partnering with you, of going into that deep friendship with you, Lord. And although it does cost us, it's so worth it, because we have eternity with you, Lord. We have eternity of seeing people who've come to know Jesus, of seeing things that last for eternity. Lord, thank you for that privilege. And Holy Spirit, I just ask for us as individuals, as a church, that you would gently just help us change our hearts, bring us to that place of increased surrender before you, Lord. Lord, give us that boldness and courage to give it all to you, to trust you. Holy Spirit, would you just renew our minds with who you are, Lord, that we can trust you, that you are a God worth surrendering to, that you love us. Yeah, Lord, we just want to trust you. We want to join with what you're doing in this country and throughout the world, Lord. We don't want to back away from the call on us as a church. But, Lord, we want to partner with you, Lord. Amen. Just before I hand back to Simon, Elaine just felt some stuff. Do you just want to share?
I just felt that there was, when I was praying in the prayer meeting, that there would be people here who maybe never surrendered to Jesus in the first place. You've actually never come to a point where you've said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. And that just came back to me when we were asked to come earlier for the words of knowledge, that I thought there may be somebody who's doesn't know Jesus at all. And if that is you and you would like to surrender for the first time to Jesus, then we'd love to pray with you and lead you into that relationship that will change your life forever. And the other thing that I had at the beginning of the meeting was about that maybe just surrendering one little step. Maybe you've actually never spoken in tongues. You've really never known that presence of the Holy Spirit. And if that's something you'd like to experience too, then again, it's a fabulous opportunity to be able to allow Jesus to just come in. It's about almost letting go of control, really, and allowing him to just come in and give us a gift. Surrender to him. The gift of tongues is available for each person who is part of his family. So if that's you too, then we would love to pray for you.
Great. Well, I'm going to hand back to Simon, but if any of those things that were mentioned, or maybe some of the words of knowledge that were said earlier, that it was kind of too exposing to stand up, then I assume the prayer team will be around and different people to pray for you. If you want to pray into something specific that's come out of the talk today, then please do come and get prayer.
Yeah, just